We meet again and again and again at all hours of all places. We meet in words, we meet in ideas, we meet in shared experiences, shared in the way scattered people understand. We move towards each other across great distances. We move away and towards and away and towards. The diaspora never stops moving. We carry our homes in our memories. We find homes in each other. We connect, disconnect, reconnect. Ties pulled and ties strengthened. Time and distance, the porous borders of our relationship. Stealing, seizing, forcing, creating shared moments. Learn each other's voices, how to recognize each other.
Welcome to my world, a remotely intimate world. I'm Tan Hung, and in the early days of Melbourne's winter, I received the voice message you just heard. It began on OkCupid, and it was an 88% match. At the time, they were living in Seattle, and currently they're moving around the United States of America. For 10 months, we intimately sent each other voice messages, and now we move in and out of each other's lives. I still haven't met this person in real life. So I play back each recording as a way to piece together a slice of intimacy that I still can't hold down. Perhaps a relationship mediated through distance draws us in like a magnet, as if to teach us how to build and how to hold our center of gravity in a world that throws us chaotically around. We learn to swerve with each other through our longing, our pain, our entwined yet fractured experience of home and love between us, between oceans. So with the help of friends, I decided to draw a map of the roads that drift us into and out of relation with each other.
Borders are colonial, but they're also very much a part of our existence prior to them coming as well. But borders, the definitions are malleable. They've always been like that too.
This is Gabby. She lights a sandalwood incense before we sit down to chat. We are sitting at the back of Dell's house.
Young Mr. Three-year-old, freshly three-year-old Cadell, the little man who basically runs the joint here.
I think that people who colonise want a lot of certainty about where the borders are and want to think that there's discrete categories that you can break the land up into, but it's not true. I think I want to do as much learning as I can about the places that I'm in all the time, and I think as Indigenous people you're always thinking about where you are and what was there before and what's there now and what kind of events happened here, and you're always trying to fill your way through those things, and sometimes you don't have access to the knowledge that you want to have access to, but it's always on your mind, you know?
Home is Anawan country, and home is Anawan country because that's where I've lived majority of my life, that's where I've learned majority of my lessons, it's where my family is. It's where I've been built up. Usually, it's not always all the time, but nearly every single time when I enter country, I see an eagle, a wedge-tailed eagle, on Anawan country. And wedge-tailed eagle is my Gumbengia totem, which is the neighbouring country. So I see the landscape. I see Anawan country, and I also see my family. So if I was to map it, the centre of it would be my blood. So when I think about home, I think about my pop. I think about my nan. I think about my family. And I also think about them being detached to this landscape as well, because they're not necessarily together all the time. We come from that, we need that, but things change and people move, and that's what I mean with love being transient a bit. It's in constant shift. I see gorges. I see the falls. I see echidnas, Iwata. I see the road from Sydney to Armidale. I see Melbourne Airport. I see the grid that we go over, the farmland, the limited amount of natural resources we now have. I see, when I map it, a big hole as well. A big hole of nothing. Just a sucking. What's that? Like a black energy. The more I stay here, the more I'm away from home, the more distant and different it becomes.
I really miss having places in Thailand to yearn for. Unfortunately, I having not spent a lot of time there and being taken away from there by family choices, I guess, I'm more attached to here. But the first place I thought of was actually in America, in the university that my partner studied in. And at a time when she was studying, when she was working or other, I had to go somewhere while she was working until she came back. I just spent hours there and started exploring the city and listened to songs that have deeply sort of become entrenched in my image of her. And a lot of the places in the university remind me of her, I guess, in that first visit to her hometown. It's, yeah, Arizona, the University of Arizona. It says something about me, I guess, too, about not having really a grounded place in Australia, to a sense, and also not in Thailand, but my sort of my heart and my home, I guess, is wherever my heart is at the time.
Dawn doesn't look at me as we chat about her partner in Arizona. Her eyes wander across the floor. She tells me that she met her partner on the internet and was comforted by
being able to sort of connect on a different level instead of needing the visual and the visual and the physical immediacy that often defines relationships in person. There was something special about that. I think that enabled us to grow closer in a way that normally I couldn't think of happening. And she was the first person I realized that I could feel beautiful with.
I think that I would map out love and home in the diaspora as a series of very convoluted but beautiful highway systems. Home would be a series of exits that were really well lit, where the people were really friendly and there was always really great food and would be sort of this really great respite from the road, but also encouraging getting back on the road. So sort of like a truck stop, the most beautiful, cleanest, safest truck stop in the world. And then love would be these series of exits that were really, some would be really beautiful and some would look beautiful but would be really dangerous. a lot of exits for love. I think that I love falling in love. I love the idea of falling in love. I like the potential that love brings. And I think what I mean by that is that every new potential sort of relationship or person I'm headed towards represents a different world that I could live in. And that's what, to me, is so great about driving. You could go anywhere. You could be anywhere. I mean, you can drive. And I don't know, I'm like getting kind of ahead of myself and I'm stumbling over my words a little. I think that ultimately for me, all of those things, love and driving and travel and movement, represent this sort of potential for a different world, which feels deeply connected to the idea of diaspora, in which like we have this sort of connecting thread, but we're all out in these different spaces trying to create some sort of different world for ourselves.
I am writing to you sitting in my aunt's old car in the driveway of a friend from New York, now in Atlanta. I drove with Genesis from Tennessee to New Orleans, from Tennessee, from New Jersey. I am making my way back to my most recent home, will arrive sometime in the next week, to pack up my life again, to leave again, to arrive somewhere new. I'm not sure where yet. I don't know when yet. We tether ourselves in voice messages, text messages, phone calls at unmatched hours, as we move the long way towards meeting each other.
As I map out the roads of home and love experienced through distance, I see the long way towards meeting each other. The highway, my bounty of options. So I drive ahead and I see the exits that may ultimately lead me to the same place. A home, many homes, that wound me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my travels have been heavily driven from OkCupid. I'm trying to make it to 100 people, and I'm stuck in the 80s.
After Genesis finished undergrad, they started traveling at a faster pace.
Meaning that I would be in a place anywhere from a couple of hours to a couple of days or weeks or months.
When I Skyped with Genesis for the first and only time, they were sitting in the back of their car in Nashville, Tennessee. Genesis is someone who has spent a lot of time in their car.
So I've spent a lot of time in my car, always. I don't know why. Last year, I had met this person on OkCupid who lived in Atlanta. We had never talked on the phone. Like, we didn't know really very much about each other at all. And they were like, oh, come to Atlanta and let's be in love. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like something I'm interested in doing right now. So
hi. I'm not sure what to say besides I have so much to say to you after reading all you've written here. I want to see more of it, and maybe even more so. More of it directed towards me. Would you like to talk sometime?
I drove from New York City to Atlanta and ended up living with this person for 9 months. Ultimately, it was sort of tumultuous, like, which wasn't really surprising to me, but to me it was totally worth it and something I would absolutely do again.
I don't think it really depends on the very sort of sexualized image of a popular love or romantic love. But yeah, it's something that we very much made our own, and yet it's grounded in the distance that enabled us to connect. And I wonder if that will change if we decide to live together. So many questions for the future.
it will never remain the same. Things grow old, things leave. Things find love outside of home too. Yeah.
It's weird because I feel like existing like this means existing in this sort of like low level state of pain all the time. Wherever you are, you're always arriving and you're always leaving. And so you are getting this sort of really dramatic high of either meeting new people or seeing people that you miss or all of these things, you know, discovering a new place that you've never been or going back to a place that you love or like being forced to go somewhere that you don't want to go. And then you're leaving. So it's just these dramatic highs and lows constantly. It can be really painful to feel like you're always leaving.
What would it feel like to land, stay, and never want to leave?
It's, yeah, different from what I expected. It's a very soft love. A lot of our connections and talks are just simply being warm with each other, being playful.
I've spent a lot of time in long-distance relationships. I think I've spent lots and lots of time dating people who were in another country or in another city before. And I found that, like, depending on the person and the situation, that writing to each other can be really intimate and really beautiful. In a lot of my relationships, distance has been so erotic and so productive. I think distance is erotic because it forces you to make effort in your sexual life with a person in a really different way. You know, I mean, even like things as basic as like having to send a message and then not knowing how the person's going to react and then having to wait and like the daring that that requires. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what Maddie means. So we keep laughing. Maddie is a writer and a big fan of long distance dating.
I think I always like to prepare myself. I like to think about it. I like to go and have conversations about it in real life and then come back to it and write it again. I feel like I've been working on this email to this cute epoch friend who is in Europe. Like, I've been working on it for like a year.
Oh man, I'm just gonna go full on cliche with this analogy and say, like, being in love is realizing that the person that you're with is imperfect and you still love them anyway. And I think that's why I have really strong correlations between the way that I feel about love and the way that I feel about falling in love with the city. And I want to be in a place where the flaws of the city don't make me want to leave. They make me want to stay even more. Oh my gosh, that was the most... I can't believe I just described it like that.
We make time to run into each other. I see you after work early in the morning, late in your day, in the middle of my afternoons off during your breakfast. I call my mom after dinner rush before she goes to bed. I travel 13 car hours to have dinner with old friends and one new. I drive across the country from my childhood home to pack up my most recent one. We meet crossing country lines, state lines, time zones, across unlikely schedules. We leave messages during free time to be retrieved at an unknown point. We meet friends of friends of friends, spin a web the world wide.
There's a line that I'm thinking of in a poem by Ellen Van Niven where she sort of says, "We want something back from this place." I really recognize the sentiment in that. I'm just like, there's definitely times that I've been to places and going there and like hoping for some kind of feeling resolved about certain things that certain issues that I had when I was there the time before, or like, yeah, the idea of like idealizing homecoming and going home and thinking, oh, you know, you don't always get what you want out of that engagement and maybe you're not listening enough.
Whoever are questioning, you know, the ability to sustain something with someone far away or who you aren't able to have to hold physically for months at a time, you know, there are other ways that you come together and sustain each other through these very different connections to the ones prioritized in the common narrative of having a romantic partner and settling down and living together. There's so much that you can do while forging your own path and celebrating your life journeys together.
My thoughts on where to be have become very muddled in a way that I think it's going to take me a really long time to sort out. I mean, I've been doing this for 3 years now. So now, more than ever, have no roots anywhere. And I feel like I could be anywhere. And coming to that realization was probably one of the most powerful things that ever happened to me, but also set off this thing where I can't be in one place right now. I don't know why, but I'm like, oh, but I could be in Chicago, or I could be in London, or I could be here or here. And so I feel this sort of compulsion to keep going and figure out where it is I really, truly want to stay. I want to be in a place where I don't want to leave, where I don't have that feeling of like, oh, but I could be somewhere else. And I mean, this might be really naive, but I think that there is a place like that. I think that I will find a place where I won't want to be anywhere else.
I'm going home and I'm thinking about it quite a lot more lately than I ever have. I feel like for me to have any proper agency, I need to be back home. If I want to understand what sovereignty is, I need to be back home. If I want to decolonize myself, I need to go back home. I know that I'm positioned in quite a very privileged place to be able to say I can go back home in the first place. A lot of people don't have that. Don't have access to home, or on so many different levels. They might not be able to access home because home doesn't exist in that same capacity that it used to. Home doesn't exist for people because the family's not there, the love's not there. Or they just can't access it because of borders, because of colonial borders that forbid people from going home. Or they're exiled. They have to create a new home. They have to redefine what love and home is. Or can you even have the power to redefine either of those things? And do we have to adapt to other places and just let love come through and home come through? Like, that's an experience I can't articulate because it's not mine. But I come from a place where I know home. And I believe that home is love. And love is home.
Gabby takes me to her backyard and picks me grapefruits the size of 4 giant tennis balls. She tells me that she doesn't like grapefruit. And neither does Del,
the little man who basically runs the joint here.
Her words replay in my ears as I walk out the door. I believe that home is love, and love is home.
There's so much. Too much to end on, but
There is always too much to end on. So I end right at the beginning, where I drew a map of the roads that drift us into and out of relation to each other. Through distance, I found home and love in unlikely meeting places, and in those unlikely meeting places, I found the heart, not broken, but breaking slowly. But with every broken chamber, I also found the heart, stitching itself into a whole beating organ again. Home is wherever my heart is at the time. And so with every connection created through distance, we, you, I, will find ourselves in remotely intimate corners of the world.
This feature was made with the support of Melbourne's 3CR for the Community Radio Network, with financial assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.